Welcome to Wednesday night at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Wednesday night's a Bible study, and we're going through the book of Revelation. Now, remember last week I told you when we get to this book, everybody, remember I used the illustration of a little kid with a puzzle? When you put a puzzle together with a little child, they're going to keep one back. And now suddenly everything goes quiet. Then the mixture of incense and forget about it. Because then when it comes to Revelation, we all have a little puzzle piece, don't we? We all have a little piece that this is where it goes and I'm going to make it fit. Well, sorry. We won't do that. So we're going to look at Revelation chapter 8 and 9 tonight. We're going to begin with silence throughout heaven. Silence throughout heaven. Chapter 8, verse 1, when the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about half an hour. Now, some Bible people believe this. I do not personally believe it, but some people think that this is the reason no women will be in heaven because it was silent. Told you, I didn't believe it. Not me. Okay? So, we don't know why that's there. We don't know how that comes about. But notice, the silence is in heaven, not necessarily on earth. And so, this is kind of, some people are a little late. This is kind of the calm before the storm. 30 minutes of suspense. John's there, silence. Now think about that. All the chapters previous, it's been noisy, hasn't it? It's been loud. There's been a lot of action taking place. And now suddenly everything goes quiet. Then the mixture of incense and the prayers of the saints. At the end of that 30-minute period, verse 2, chapter 8, I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with the prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. And the smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. And then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed and lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. Something so precious in heaven becomes so destructive on earth. Now, we've seen some of these pictures before, the altar. We're not sure how this works or where that is. You know, we've seen those that have been martyred for their faith are under the altar. We do know that the tabernacle that Israel worshiped in Old Testament and in the New is a pattern of heaven. And so we don't fully understand that, but the second place here also, the prayer of the saints. Never think that your prayers don't matter. They do. They're precious to God. And so it's the prayers are mixed with the incense and they're thrown to earth and the thunder crashes. Okay, now we've been stopping and taking questions. I've gone a little bit on. And so if you want to text a question, there's the number. We have some mics as well. And I think we have one question left from last week. Okay, although we look forward to the rapture, shouldn't all believers understand we will endure persecution or martyrdom? You're absolutely right. And that, this is where I think a lot of people get upset. Well, how can you say this is worse than what's going on now? Because there's tribulation going on now. Yes, there is. There will always be tribulation on earth. But please understand something. It is not the great tribulation. And there's a difference between the two. And so we just understand, we look forward to this, but it isn't an escape route. That life is getting tough. Because you and I know in the news, just in the last few weeks, how many people were killed in Africa, because they're Christians. Folks, that isn't going to stop. It's not quitting. We're getting towards the end. Any other questions? We're good so far? Okay. So this incense is mixed with prayers. It's thrown down to the earth. terrible earthquake. This is the start of the seven trumpets. The seven trumpets. Now, understand, the seven trumpets are the seventh seal. Okay? In other words, he's opened the seventh seal, and when the seventh seal is open, there's seven trumpets. So it looks different, but it's the same. Verse 6, then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blast. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. One third of the earth was set on fire. One third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was burned. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One third of the water in the sea became blood, probably referring to the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 9, one third of all things living in the sea died. One third of all the ships on the sea were destroyed. Verse 10, then the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness. It made one third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. Then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one third of the sun was struck, and one third of the moon, and one third of the stars, and they became dark, and one third of the day was dark, and also one third of the night. And then I looked, and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air, terror, 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 or in some version, woe, 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 to all who belong to this world, because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpets. Now, if you'll notice in this, many of these things that happen are very familiar in the Old Testament because some of them are very similar to the plagues that were on the Egyptians when God was trying to release the children of Israel. So you see some of the same things going on there that happened there. Now, verse 13 says, terror, terror, terror. In other words, it's going to get worse. Things are going to get harder. Three more trumpets are yet to sound, and they're going to bring great terror than the previous ones. But notice what it says, to all who belong to this world. That's the people who have rejected God. Now, the other thing we need to understand, I want to make sure we understand it before we're going into chapter 9 and understand it about the previous thing. What John is seeing is all of this, what's going on in heaven and how that affects the earth. The people on the earth aren't necessarily seeing this. All they're seeing is the results of it. So sometimes in our mind we think, wow, everybody on earth is going to see all this thrown, the trumpets being blown, everybody on earth is going to see all that. No, because even today there is things going on in a spiritual realm that you and I do not see but feel the effects of. And so much of what's going on in Revelation, we're getting an insider's look at it. We're seeing what's happening up in heaven, but not necessarily are the people on earth seeing that. They're just seeing, you know, cosmic reactions, cataclysmic things happening, which, again, how many times, well, you know, this asteroid's going to hit the earth, and this is going to take place, and this, well, some of that starts happening. And so they don't always necessarily put two and two together because they just see it as some of the bad effects of nature, where John sees it as this is God's doing and look what God's doing. All right? Questions?
Yes, we got a couple. Why is the one third? Oh, well, we can start with that one. Does the Antichrist know he's the Antichrist? Is he the devil himself?
I believe, yes, he knows he's the Antichrist, and no, he is not the devil himself. He is an extension. You see, just, let me back up. How do I say this? Just as God is three in one, Satan has an unholy trinity. a part of him that works in and through all. And so, it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, now there's Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. All three come from the same entity. And so, we know that this person is motivated and given over to Satan and controlled by Satan.
Why is the one-third, is that significant?
Don't know. Don't think so. Just telling us this is what's happening.
And finally, how can we determine which portions of Revelation are literal and which are symbolic?
You can't. Okay, you can guess. There are some, yes, literal. And if you're going to err, err on the side of taking it literally. All right, that would be my thing. But there is some that's symbolic, and we're going to see some of that here in just a moment. Some of it is symbolic, but much of it, I believe, in Revelation is very literal in what's going to happen. Because when God gives us numbers and all that type of stuff, he's given us very specific things. That is much more than just a literal thing. Okay? Got a question back here. I think we have some gentlemen with microphones, don't we? Okay. Anybody else? Give them time to get to you.
Mentioned the result.
Go ahead.
You mentioned the results of what is happening from the inner realm. Is that the results? Could that be like what we see in the Middle East right now? And what's the results of what's Pakistan and India?
Well, I think it goes back to this question that we had earlier. I think much of what we're seeing now, like you say, is a tribulation time. But it is not the great tribulation. Much of what we're seeing in the Middle East now just simply has to do with this conflict between the Jews and the Arabs, Isaac and Ishmael, and has been going on for centuries. So it's not, well, this is the great tribulation because look what we're seeing now. We're seeing it being set up, but we're not there yet.
It's forthcoming.
It's coming.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, to all who belong to this world. So the things that are coming are to those who are in the world. So the fifth trumpet brings scorpions. Brings scorpions. Now all of you know what a scorpion's like, right? All right, well, what you're going to see is nothing like a scorpion. But the effect is there. Chapter 9, verse 1. The fifth angel blew his trumpet. And I saw a star that had fallen to earth from the sky, and he was given the key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Now, I kind of believe that star is Satan. Down later in your notes, there at the end of this text, Isaiah 14:12, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. You have been thrown down to the earth, you who destroyed the nations of the world. A reference to Satan. We see a similar designation of him here. So he was given a key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. Where's the bottomless pit? We don't know. Some think that the gulf between hell and heaven is the bottomless pit. But we don't know. We do know that through Scripture that God has kept angels chained up at a certain time until their appointed time. Many of them believe it's in that bottomless pit area. Verse 2, when he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and the air turned dark from smoke. Not just a little, a lot. And then locusts came from the smoke and descended upon the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. So they're locusts, but they sting like scorpions. And they were told not to harm the grass or the plants or the trees. Now, If you know of a locust, that's exactly what they harm, isn't it? That's exactly what they do, and yet they're told, don't do that, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. Now, in the previous chapters, we know that God wouldn't let a few things happen until the 144,000 had been sealed. So it's a reference to them. In other words, you can go, don't hurt the grass or anything else, and you can't touch these who have been sealed. They were told, verse 5, not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. Now, anybody here ever been stung by a scorpion? How painful is it? Pretty bad, right? I've never had that pleasure, so thank you, but that can't be good. And so they, for 5 months on this earth, these locusts will cause pain by stinging people. Verse 6, here's how bad it gets. In those days, people will seek death, but not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. Now, we get into some of the pictures. Now John begins to describe something that he probably doesn't fully understand. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. You know, maybe if you put the little locusts under a microscope. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. They had hair like woman's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like the army of chariots rushing into battle. Now, if you had a swarm of locusts coming at you, you would hear that, wouldn't you? They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name in Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, which means in both, the destroyer. Again, a reference to Satan. The first terror is past, the first of the last three, but look, two more terrors are coming. That cannot be pleasant. Now again, what are the people on the earth thinking? Oh, we're just in a bad period of time. We've got a swarm of locusts coming. They're painful. Everybody's trying to escape from it. It gets so bad, they want to die. And death will never be found. Torture. Now, before you say, oh, Pastor, that isn't fair to people. Hold it. Please hear me. It's nothing compared to what will happen to people in hell. And what is God doing? God's judging people, but he's trying to get people to repent, isn't he? He's still working on the Jewish nation. He's still working on people to come to their senses.
We have a few. Is the half hour of silence literal?
I think so, yes.
So is the mark of the beast and the mark of God? Is one of the questions.
There's a seal that's there. Now, here's the question. We're not at the mark of the beast yet, so I'm not getting into that. But with the seal of God, that could be literal. You could see something on their forehead, or it could be something that is just seen by these spiritual beings that they know is there. But we really aren't told.
Since you said you won't get into the mark of the beast, I'm going to skip the question about the mark of the beast that someone asked, if that's okay. We'll get there later.
We will get there, but okay. Not tonight.
When the rapture takes place, wouldn't the economy be drastically in trouble all over the world? And how will this be handled? And with that, how with all of this happening, can they work and survive?
Well, first of all, when the ruler, the Antichrist, steps into power, one of his abilities to receive power, one of the ways he gets in, is because he takes care of the economic situation. And will the economic situation get worse? Maybe not. Maybe it'll get better. Less people. So we have to understand that what this man does through the power of Satan is that he comes onto this earth scene and he grabs political power, and through his political power, he is able to bring peace and he's able to bring finances. Now, we've already been through some of the plagues where it says, you know, you're going to work a day for just enough for a meal. So there, yes, there's going to be difficult times. But notice that sometimes it says this is only going to take place in a third of the earth. It doesn't mean this happens everywhere. And so we have to understand that he is going to manage things, because through his management, he will get people to follow him. Yes, it will be a difficult time. Yes, it will be hard. That's why it's called the Great Tribulation.
Are the locusts, scorpions, things actually insect or human?
I think they're actually insects. I think John's given a description of what they remind him of. But the power to sting. Again, that's just my thought.
How do we know if we're really ready for the rapture?
Well, it's very simple. Simplest thing in the world. Have you accepted Christ into your life? I mean, that's it. You know? Well, I've done that. How do I know that I've done that? Well, you live a life that you're trying your best to please God and serve God and love God. You love God with all your heart. You're not perfect. You don't have it all together. But you have asked for forgiveness. You have recognized, you know, as we pray tonight, what is there in your life that God's dealing with you about? Here's what I know. In this room tonight, God's dealing about every one of us with something. Because all of us have something that we could do better, that we need to deal with so that we can serve God better. So it doesn't mean you become perfect. But it does mean that I know I've asked God. His word tells me that if I ask, he'll forgive me. And so I have his Holy Spirit in my life, which is the guarantee that I am saved. Not by my works, not by what I've done, but because I've accepted Christ. That's salvation. And if I've done that, I'm ready for the rapture.
That's all I got.
Okay. All right. Oh, wow. The sixth trumpet and the stubbornness of people. The stubbornness of people. I'll give you a moment to write that big word down so that you got it. Verse 13 of chapter 9. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I had a verse speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. Now, here's this altar again with the horns on it. You know, the picture is just incredible how you think of that. Little horns, big horns, I don't know. But there's that altar again, and, you know, a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar. You know, we know that the ark had horns in the corner, the presence of God. So it's just, there it is again. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River. Now, let me stop there for a moment. I think, do we have a map? If we do, I just jumped this on them, surprised them. So we'll give them a moment. You need to understand the Euphrates River. This area is going to become key in what happens throughout Revelation. This area is where the Garden of Eden was. This area is where Ur of the Chaldees was, where Abraham was called out of. This area was one of the boundary lines for the promised land that God gave to the children of Israel. This is a very important area. This area was one of the places where the Babylonian Empire, it's in Iraq. It's in that whole area that now becomes a focal point, if you will, of end times. We'll get with it again. We'll deal with it more. But it's been called, this area, the cradle of civilization. It's just an important area all throughout history. It's called Mesopotamian. It's the area where the invention of writing. It's where the wheel was invented. And so there's so much that has happened there. We're told later on this river's going to dry up to make it possible for the armies to just flood into Israel. And so he says, here's where it happens. Release these who hold this great Euphrates River. Verse 15, then the four angels who had been prepared for this hour and day and month and year were turned loose. So God has four angels, demons, that he has reserved to work on his behalf in the end times. Now, let me make sure we understand this. Satan is still thinking he can get control of things. Satan and his demons, his ones that are following him, still believe there's a chance for them to override God. We'll come back to the map later. And so he has them there. But God uses Satan for his purpose. Now, whenever Satan is released and wherever demons are released, what does Satan do? He's already been named. We've already read his name. What's his name? It's just in the previous chapter, which means what? He just destroys stuff. What does Satan do? He destroys lives. Wherever Satan is loose, he brings destruction. Whenever you go into certain areas and certain countries that don't know God, you can just see the destruction that's happened in their lives. So that's what Satan does. And so God has kept them in certain places for the appointed time to turn them loose to destroy, bringing his judgment. The four angels have been prepared for this, and were turned loose to kill one third of all the people on the earth. Now, let me backtrack just a little because we've already seen this before. Remember, I told you the population of the world today is 7.3 billion people. All right? Let's say that 1.3 billion are taken in the rapture. That leaves 6 billion people. Previously, one fourth of the population has been killed. So now we're down to 4.5 billion people. Now another third, or 1.5 billion people, are killed. So now the earth population is 3 billion people. Not counting those who have died through other means that we've already read about. Wow. Okay. So verse 16, I heard the size of their army. In other words, didn't necessarily, I heard it. The size of their army, which was 200 million mounted troops. Okay, let me give you a little picture of that. If you took these mounted troops, stretched them a mile wide, and put them at the beginning of Alligator Alley, they would go all the way across to the other side. This is a huge number. It's possibly one of those numbers that just, John's saying it's just too big to count, let me pick a number. But it's just these troops. And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. And the riders wore armor that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. And the horses had heads like lions, and fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. And one third of all the people were killed by these three plagues. What are the three plagues? The fire, the smoke, and the burning sulfur that came from the mouth of the horses. Now, some think, well, that describes some of our modern warfare, doesn't it? Verse 19, their power was in their mouths and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But the people who did not die in these plagues still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Can you believe that? They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, wood, idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders or their witchcraft or their sexual immorality or their thefts. In other words, all of this is still going on And yet people still refuse to repent. That's just incredible. God's bringing judgment. God's bringing horrible times to the earth. And you would think with all this horrible times, people would wake up. You and I would think today, don't people get it and how close we are and what's going on? And you would think when they go through all these bad times, they would turn their life around and come to God. No. It's amazing how far people will go and still not come to God, isn't it? And that's what John's comment is. He says, look, after all of this has happened, what strikes him is these people still continue to worship other things than the God of heaven. Now, what we read there and what we've read in this is familiar in other places of Scripture. Down at the bottom of your notes there, Joel chapter 1, verse 6, a vast army of locusts has invaded my land. A terrible army, too numerous to count. Its teeth are like the lion's teeth, its fangs like those of a lioness. Verse 15, the day of the Lord is near, the day when destruction comes from the Almighty. How terrible that day will be. Joel chapter 2, verse 2, it is a day of darkness and gloom, a dark day of thick clouds and deep blackness, suddenly like dawn spreading across the mountains. A great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them. Flames follow after them. Ahead of them, the land lies as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across the field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Wow, you begin to see what's happening to earth is earth is being brought to an end. Earth is being set up. But why? Because Satan is having his way, and Satan destroys. That's one of his names. He's a destroyer. And yet, as he continues to destroy, people refuse to change. Stubborn. And today, you and I have this great, hopefully, privilege of saying, God, help me not to be that stubborn. That when things are going on in my life that I know aren't right with you, help me to be willing to change. Help me be willing to serve you and not me. It's a terrible day. It's a difficult time. So many things. Pastor, I don't understand this and I don't see, I don't either. But what do I do know? Remember last week I gave you a few things we know about Revelation? God has a plan. Nothing's going to stop it. God's still giving people time to repent. And God will win. But God is going to judge the earth. And so he is a God of justice. He has promised this. He keeps his promise. So today we look at this and think, wow, this is incredible. First of all, God, like we've been asked, I want to be ready. We've talked to you about that. Secondly, Lord, why are you waiting for this day? Well, the Bible tells us that. He's waiting for this day because he wants more people to be saved. So let's do everything we can to see that that happens, to work with him so that that can take place. And Lord, help me to be willing to follow you and to do what you're asking me to do.
Thank you for joining us for tonight's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. We also gather on Sunday mornings at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next time for Wednesday night at Faith Assembly. Faith Assembly's Wednesday night is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.